The following interview is conducted as part of the Georgia Institute of Technology's Everyday Georgia Interview Project. Today is Monday, May 21st. The interview is taking place at Children's Scottish Rite. The interviewer is Allison Powell. The interviewee is Karen Wasilewski-Masker, right? Okay, and thank you for participating in this project.
No problem.
Okay, first question I have for you is, can you just talk about where you were born and where you grew up?
Sure. I was born in Bayonne, New Jersey, but I did not live there for very long, so we moved around every few years, so I didn't grow up in one particular place. So we moved from New Jersey to New York to Maryland to Delaware, back to New Jersey again, then to Virginia, then to Raleigh, North Carolina, and then when I was in seventh grade, we moved back to New Jersey again. And then, so I was there from seventh grade, Northern New Jersey, Ramsey, through the end of high school, and then I went to Penn State, so, and where I was for 5 years, and so that was the longest I lived anywhere consecutively. And then I moved to Nashville for med school and residency, where I lived for 7 years. So then that was the longest place I ever lived anywhere. And then I went back up to New Jersey for a year to do Gen Peds. And then I came to Atlanta, and I've been here for almost 15 years. So this is by far the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my life.
Okay.
So
thank you.
Well, that leads sorry.
To, no, that's
how about
great.
Like East Coast?
I'm the same way. I've moved a lot as well. So that leads into the next question. Can you please tell me about your education and career experiences?
Sure. So yeah. So I graduated from Ramsey High School. I went to Penn State as part of their honors program, and I initially was a sociology and poli-sci major until after my first year, when I decided I really wanted to be a physician. I really wasn't sure what the heck I was going to do with a sociology degree. So I changed majors and became a dual major in biology and Spanish. And the only reason I chose to double major in Spanish was because it was fun and I liked it. And I needed to balance the other side of my brain. And in retrospect, that was probably one of the best academic decisions I made in my life, because I use Spanish every day, unlike my biology degree. So I was at Penn State for 5 years because I changed majors so many times that I was going to graduate in 4.5 years. And I played rugby there, and we had made nationals again, so we were supposed to play in the national championships. So there was no way I was leaving in December. So I graduated. I was at Penn State from 90 to 95, and then I went to Vanderbilt for medical school. So I was there for medical school from 95 to 99. I graduated medical school, and then I stayed at Vanderbilt to do my pediatric residency at Vanderbilt. So that was from 99 to 2002. And then at that time, I had thought I wanted to go into hematology oncology, but I had some personal things, i.e. a divorce going on in my life, and I was not ready to commit to 3 years of anything, so I decided to do general pediatrics. I went up back to New Jersey, did that 4 months later. I was like, I'm going to shoot myself if this is what I do for the rest of my life. So I applied for fellowship, and there was an open fellowship position here at Emory. So I did not have to wait for the match, which would have delayed another year. So I came to Emory/Children's for my pediatric hemonc fellowship from 2003 to 2006. And then I stayed on as an attending since then.
Okay.
So.
All right.
And I got my master's at Emory in the process of doing my fellowship in clinical research.
Okay. That's a little something else.
My husband said, no more degrees.
Yeah. Okay. You talked a little bit about this. You mentioned your sports interests. Can you talk more about your interests or hobbies?
Sure, yes. I mean, so I love sports, like growing up, so I played volleyball and basketball and softball when I was in high school, and then I got to college and I needed a sport, and I was hanging out with the guys on the rugby team and they were starting a rugby team. So like, this is perfect. So I was the first year that Penn State restarted their women's rugby team, and we practiced our first year, and then we went to Midwest the following year and we won. And we went to the national championship. We came in third, but that's okay. And like, Penn State's won like 10 of the last, you know, however many years since college, 20 years of national championships since then. So, and then when I moved to Nashville, I continued to play rugby for the Nashville Women's Club. But that is not a lifelong sport. So I stopped playing. I said, when I was 30, I'm cut off. So, I mean, since then, I just kind of dabble. I mean, so, run and do 5Ks and things like that. And then, I love watching sports. I have two children now. So my daughters are 10 and 7, and both of them play softball and basketball and other sports, and so now it's just a matter of playing with them. Enjoy going out. We live over in Sandy Springs. We have a kayak and go out on the Chattahoochee over there. And then I met my husband when I was 16, actually, and for our first date, I went over his house and watched the NBA All-Star game. And so he was like, all right, there's a woman that wants to watch sports with me, I'm good. So now we didn't get married till 17 and a half years later, but we enjoy watching, you know, sports, Penn State football. I have this huge Giants fan, and you know, pretty much anything. So
okay, please talk about a significant person or event which influenced who you are today.
A significant person or event that influenced who I am today. So, I've had what I would like to say like 3 or 4 fathers in my life. So there's my dad, and he probably started with my love of sports and things like that, but also, I remember when I was in North Carolina and all the neighbors would go and play out on the street with their sons, and he would bring me out there. And so I never had the perception that, you know, that I was kept from doing anything because of my gender or anything like that. And again, he's the one who kind of got me hooked on sports and things like that. And then during, college, Charlie Smith was my rugby coach, so he's from South Africa, and he's always been like my second dad, so he was like my dad in college, and his philosophy of, he was born in just, you know, the poorest areas of South Africa, and he, you know, worked up to he was the head of the accounting department at Penn State, and, nationally and internationally known, and so just his work ethic, and he always used to, on the field, he's like, you know, he would give us these little speeches or tell us, you know, life is short, and he would, say these Africans things that we would not understand and whatnot. So the whole philosophy that you're really not held back from anything. So, you know, here we are, like this brand new rugby team, and he comes to us and he's like, do you guys want to go to national, or do you want to go to Midwest tournament? We're like, yeah, sure. And so so he like called up all his friends and raised money really quick, and then we go and we win things. So he's just remained an inspiration in my life and all of my teammates and things like that. And then when I briefly was doing that year of general practice in New Jersey, the owner of the practice's name was David Rosenberg, and he was just so incredibly passionate about what he was doing in general pediatrics, and I did not feel that at all. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that was really a primary reason why I'm like, I've got to do something that I really, like, love to do, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I came here, Bill Woods, who I call my work dad, so he was our department or division chair. He stepped down a couple years ago and now heads our fellowship program. But again, just kind of that same sort of philosophy that part of the reason I didn't do fellowship initially was because I had done basic science research and I hated it. And a lot of fellowship programs at the time really weren't interested in people doing clinical research. So, but Bill is a clinical researcher. And so, you know, I came here and he gave me the opportunity to do it. He was my primary mentor. And just the way he conducts himself. So he bebops around in his Georgia Tech hat and, you know, he just is, you know, treats everybody fairly. I mean, he is the ultimate in, like, he is the most fair person I have ever met in my life. And just, again, in general, a good person and so passionate about what he does. I mean, he's, you know, in his 70s now, he still does service and he just, he loves it. He loves to teach. He loves to take care of kids with cancer. And so I think, you know, rather than it just being one person, I think all of those people through the trajectory of my life and them modeling their passion for what they do and doing the right thing is has probably been kind of my main influence in terms of from a career perspective. And then, you know, in terms of where I am right now, I mean, there's certainly been a couple of patients, especially in the last few years, who have unfortunately passed away, but have also been, again, kind of major influences in, you know, kind of my transformation in the last, I would say, 10 years, because life can be hectic. So.
Okay, transitioning to, you know, Georgia Tech and mm-hmm. your work with them, can you talk about how you initially became involved with Georgia Tech?
Sure. So, so how I first became involved with Georgia Tech is my husband and I have season football tickets. So. But besides that, my original research was in cancer survivorship. Many years ago, I've kind of transitioned from my work in survivorship and my research in survivorship to more of an administrative role. So I was the medical director at Scottish, and now I'm the cross-campus medical director. And then in doing that, my research has also changed from being more survivorship-focused to quality improvement. And so when I I don't know how many years ago it was, as I kind of became more and more interested in quality improvement and supportive care, Leanne West and I connected on a project while I was still in survivorship that was looking at, you know, transition of care for our survivors of childhood cancer that were young adults, because young adult survivorship has always been something that I have been interested in. And then through that, I mean, so that just kind of opened the door. And I would say that original project probably was like the least successful of anything we've done, but it kind of opened up the door to all these other things and all these other people. So like the awesome thing about Georgia Tech, right, is that like there's all these really smart people that want to help people, but you don't have patients. And then we have like patients and things that we want to do for them, but not necessarily the time or the skill set right. necessarily to do those things. So from there, I worked with Leanne and her group on a project to decrease anxiety in patients undergoing radiation therapy. Eventually, Lindsay Cohen from Georgia State got looped into that, and it really wound up being more of a behavioral health sort of project, and so he became the principal investigator on it and actually got a R21 to do that project, which has recently finished in the last year or so. And then through Leanne, I then got connected with Megan Denham and the and when she was in the Department of Architecture, because myself and Amy Sherrod, who is our clinic manager, she's a nurse who's actually a director over at Winship now, we were very interested in improving our patient flow, and they were interested in how you can redesign space and things like that. So we got involved with them on the healthcare design of the future course. So then through that, like, different students had different ideas and things like that, and then one of the things that came out of it was this huge flow map of what goes on in our clinic, which, if you look at it on paper, is just insanity and speaks to, again, just kind of how complex care is, etc. And through interviews they did, the kids kept saying, well, it's not like we can't do this, and it's not like we could do this. And Megan kind of took that idea and ran with it. And so the next phase of that is we applied for a quick wins for what was called a passport project. So what we wanted to do was to be able to combine the objective data in terms of time points and where patients were in different points of the clinic, with as well as what location they were in and what their flow was, but combine that with subjective information from the patients in terms of, okay, how are they feeling, as you know, when they're in different places, you know, what things do they think could make things better or not better, etc. So we did that first pilot. It was done on paper. It was really very successful in terms of how engaged the families and the patients were in it, and in terms of the data that we got and were able to act upon and making some improvements. But it really wasn't feasible from a long-term perspective because it was on paper and it was so work intensive to really gather that information. So we then worked with the Computing for Good class, and they created an electronic prototype of the passport for the next phase of the study. Now, that didn't get into clinical implementation, again, because it was really just a prototype. So most recently, we've continued on that project and gotten the IMLAE grant. And through that grant, we now have an actual electronic version of the passport that we're in the next few months going to be launching in terms of a study. And it's really, I got to preview it a few weeks ago, and it's super cool. So what that's going to allow us to do again is to be able to continue to make improvements for our patients and in our clinic flow, because it will fun for kids, but it'll also help us capture how long it's taking people to go places, where they're going to go, and then again get ideas from the kids in terms of what areas of opportunity we have from a clinic perspective. So,
okay, thank you. And how have your interactions with these technologies and this research initiative, how's that affected your work or personal life?
So it's fun, right? So that's, one of the great things about being a physician is that, there are so many like options and opportunities that you can do with that, right? And then also within academic medicine, that's particularly true because, if you look at how my time is split out, like I do some administration, I do some clinical work, I do some research, et cetera. So the work that I've done, and I'm the biggest cheerleader for Georgia Tech, especially like for our learners and things coming in to partner, it's really fun and it's really productive, right? So as I mentioned before, we all have different skill sets and we all think different ways to solve problems, et cetera. So it's this amazing combination, again, of, as clinicians, we, want to solve problems for our patients, right. And then you have a group of people down the street that also want to solve problems for patients but don't necessarily understand, you know, the intricacies of it. And so it's been an opportunity to meet different people. It's an opportunity to look at problem solving in a different way. And honestly, not only do we not have the skill set, we don't have the time to do a lot of these things also. So it's really been kind of a nice combination. And that's not only with regards to this project. I mean, we have several, you know, we have, you know, a couple of our faculty members that have joined appointments between Georgia Tech and us here at Children's and Aflac. You know, we have several of our fellows that have trained down there. We've had students that come over and do clinical time, et cetera. So it's just a really nice, fun relationship. And it's also something I think that sets us apart from a lot of other programs in the country to be able to have this, you know, this partnership.
Right.
So,
yeah. Okay. Well, just wrapping up, are there any other experiences that you'd like to share?
I don't know. I mean, I will say, so the inspiration for the Passport project was when we were doing that project initially on paper, they had asked Amy and I to do like a couple lectures for the actual class, for the didactic portion, and I had reached out to one of my patients at the time who was a college athlete, and she had gotten diagnosed with metastatic cancer, and her dad actually went to Georgia Tech, and I said, you know, could I bring a patient, you know, instead to do part of this? So we did our didactic part, and then I brought Kirsten and her dad to talk to the class. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like truly inspiring and transformational on a lot of different levels. I mean, I think for the students in the class, it really put, you know, an experience with what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I could not have provided the information that Kirsten and her father were able to provide in terms of some of their ideas for things that could be done to improve things, especially, you know, as a young adult. You know, and her dad's in IT also, which was, you know, kind of, you know, is one of the neat parts of things. And then, so it was really her story that really was the inspiration for moving this Passport project forward. And it was also a nice continuity because the students met her as part of their original class, and then some of the students were so inspired that they've continued with this project, and they're getting their PhDs now, et cetera, and, or they're faculty members now, and they're still involved in the project, and so they were able to see her there, and then when we did the pilot study, you know, they were able to, you know, she was in clinic, and they were able to see her there, so, you know, she died a couple years ago, and it, one of her father, who I'm still close to their family, wrote to me and said that it was so important for her to be part of the Georgia Tech project because she felt like it gave meaning, you know, to her life and what she was doing. So, you know, and I think that, you know, that's something that we can, you know, continue to do and learn from, and it also helps inspire other students to really want to, again, kind of pursue this relationship between, you know, healthcare and technology and engineering, etc. So,
okay, well, thank you for participating in the Everyday Georgia Interview Project and sharing your story with us.
Thanks.